Katie, I'm ready to hear your introduction about what tasty morsel we're going to do today.
Okay, so I got a little article. I thought, Kate, did you get a chance to read the article?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so
I'm interested to see what you have to say.
Yeah, and I'm interested to hear what you have to say. So that'll be wonderful. So it's this article by this man called William Henry. I don't know if you've heard of him, Bob. He's a researcher out of Nashville.
I know him, Kate, at the Mesquite, Nevada, was it? Mesquite someplace in August 99 when I went to that International UFO Conference, a long-time conference run by Bob Brown and his wife, who I think passed away, his wife, years ago. But that's where I met them. And there was every fringe kook type there.
Uh-huh.
And William Henry was one of them. And he was one of the more professional speakers. I think he'd been on the New Age circuit, that UFO circuit, for a few years. Everybody seemed to know him.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I don't even know if he hung around. I never got to talk to him. But I have noticed him since then, 99, now almost 10 years, the kind of topics he does. So I'm slightly familiar with him, but I never got to talk to him personally. I just heard him do a lecture.
And so he's married to this woman called Claire, and they live in Nashville. And Claire specializes in fine art. So she knows all about paintings all throughout history. William has been on, you know, that show on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens. Do you know that show that I'm talking about? Can anyone hear me?
Yeah, I'm on mute. No, I don't know that
song. Yeah.
I've never watched
those. So it's a mainstream show on Nat Geo called Ancient Aliens, and they have all sorts of topics. He's a correspondent on that show and often appears. And then he's got a show with his wife on the Gaia Network that you can buy on Amazon. And they talk a lot about ascension and how it appears in paintings throughout history. He's also into the singularity. He wrote a paper called The Skinkularity. I'm not sure if I'm saying it exactly the way he would say it, but like singularity superimposed with the word skin in it, and talks about how a lot of devices are being put onto our skin at this particular point in history. So not AI, not Sophia the robot, but like how we're being offered some cyborg capabilities through stuff that can be put on our skin.
Do we know that we're being, this stuff is put on our skin?
Yeah, this is like stuff that's in science. I read this paper like a year ago, so I can't really say anything about it right now. I have to go back and refresh my memory. But that particular paper is based on things that are available through science, so it's not conjecture. And then this article that we read for today is talking about ascension, I guess more from the singularity even, more from a natural standpoint. So it seems like there's kind of two schools of thought. Some people think that the singularity, it actually has occurred, like you said, Bob, will be artificial intelligence through computer programs. And then there's an organic option that humanity has where we can learn to program our DNA.
Mm.
So this article is kind of about that. So I'll stop talking for a second. Kate, why don't you say a few things, and we'll just kind of go back and forth.
Okay. I like that they started off talking about or relating it to computers and technology, and then but they make it sound like it's like how every time someone is like talking about ascension or, you know, the perfect world, it's always like something so far away, like relating to the technology part, it's something that's so far away. And it's like this huge deal that everyone has to figure out how to get it. And then when they talk about the body part near the second half of the article, they also relate in the same way, but like, I don't know, it's always here, but they're making it sound like it's like this new age thing, that it's, you know, the new age world, like type of crowd it's for them. What do you think?
Let me just add, Katie, you mentioned Gaia. That's where a lot of those people that were on Mesquite 8-9 years ago,
right?
They finally have a new age TV network. It's called Gaia. And a lot of those people that I heard in that network back then are on that station now. That seems to be their oasis of where they can talk about these kind of things.
Right, and
ignoring
that,
ignoring Ion.
But it's kind of similar in a way, but they say that life is not real, that it's an illusion. Is that what, I think that's what Gaia means, isn't it?
Gaia what?
I'm not sure what that even means. Gaia, like, does it mean that like life is an illusion and it's not real?
No, the word Gaia itself is Greek mythology, but the famous scientist, James Lovelock, British scientist, made the Gaia hypothesis in the early 70s that William Irwin Thompson promoted, saying, I don't know, makes everybody paranoid about machines screwing up the Earth. Gaia is like the intelligence of the planet is beyond what we know, and we better watch out. This Gaia could backfire on us. So the New Agers, they would go for that concept, so they call their network Gaia. But I think Mifune is a closer connection. And LaRouche, even, is better on Gaia than Lovelock. And, of course, LaRouche doesn't like the Thompson Quadrant, and they refute the Teilhard de Chardin kind of influenced notion of the Gaia hypothesis. They go for a Russian guy named Vernadsky, who came up with some kind of more appropriate to LaRouche's ideology idea of Gaia. Basically, LaRouche has said from the beginning, the same as McLuhan, that the medium is the message, that technologies are part of nature. So you have Katie saying the techno version of the singularity is cyborgian or merging with the machine or the machinic, and the new age version thinks that the singularity is something like Gaia or some development of Gaia. So I don't know why you're saying, what are you referring to, Kate, about Gaia? What were you saying? It was an illusion? Where'd you get that idea?
I think she means Maya. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's Maya. Yeah.
I guess. Okay, I think, I don't know, they're the same thing. I think they've, in the article, they put the two words together, didn't they? Like Maya or Gaia? I'm not sure.
Do they?
Oh, they could have.
I don't know, anyway. Yeah.
No, do they put Maya in this article? William Henry's article?
Oh, yeah, they do. Maya / Gaia.
Katie.
I don't know. I didn't see that part, but it's a 60-page article, so we probably highlighted different things, which is great. That's why we wanted to do it together, so you could have the Kate-Katie combo. The Maya-Gaia-Katie-Kate combo, Bob.
Yes.
Are you ready?
A tasty little sucker. Very tasty. So let's go into what is Henry saying, William Henry. What is he talking about, UFOs and that in the article?
No, he's talking about quantum entanglement and wormhole. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's a cliche that people throw around now, right? They pick up these scientific words. Quantum entanglement. Well, that's quadrophenia. I laid out better. They think it's in matter, but it's in our being now. Our nature / techno being is quadrophenic. But anyways, let's hear what he says. What is this?
So he's saying that in the Gnostic tradition.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he said that there's in many traditions this tale of avatars who have ascended, who have phoned home, so to speak, and brought the the Pure Land, the Field of Dimension, Scion, the real world, down into them, okay?
Yeah.
So then he mentions in the Gnostic tradition that Christ is this person in this mythology, and that he incarnated in human form or walked on water, since the human body is over 70% water, and that since Christ did this and was a way shower for us and we're quantumly entangled with Christ, that we can get a download from Christ in order to do the same thing. That's basically the crux of the article.
And that we're baby souls or baby stars, and that we're all connected through Christ.
Did you say
and
baby
that
baby star?
We can, yeah, I baby stars or
yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you're a bit on delay, Katie. So we Kate.
Oh.
I think Kate is on delay, so we have to watch that. She's not able to hear our immediate response, so we're aware of that, Kate. Yeah, so what is this about a baby star?
He's calling us baby souls / baby stars, and that we are disrobed from our robe of light. Which means, I guess, maybe his term of saying when we became little man or gave up our power.
Right. Okay, Kate, would you check your mic? It's slightly blurry.
Okay, I'm calling back in.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I'm going to call.
Okay, so gets back in.
Bob?
Bob, you cut out. We can't hear you. Bob's way upstairres making the beds, Katie, so he may have gone.
He did that last time, too, remember?
Yeah, you're supposed to make the beds when Zappa does a long solo, Bob. Not when you're talking to someone.
I can't hear you. Are you on?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Bob's not on? Are you on? Can you hear me, Kate?
I can hear you perfectly. And I could hear Bob, like, it sounded like he was in the room with you, but not loudly.
Yeah. I don't have to hang up, Bob. I'm on a different phone. So stop not remembering that. So you got kicked right. Bob got kicked off, so he's phoning back in along with.
You're talking to anybody?
Kate, I'm talking to
Katie. It's my show and Carolyn's show.
Yeah, yeah.
We kicked him off the show, Carolyn.
So anyway, this article, I didn't get around to reading it, so I'm interested in hearing more about it. But what we did listen to was this Jeff Einstein.
Oh, I've listened to that, too. That was awesome.
Yeah, but it was all content. He doesn't know he certainly doesn't know the five bodies, and he doesn't know McLuhan. It's, you know, layers of scare tactics about the content, not realizing that we're adapting. I mean,
and ironically calling the content media.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you watched that KT.
I did.
You watched Jeff Einstein, yeah.
I did. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it. It sounded very entertaining.
But addiction is too simple. That doesn't explain anything, I don't think. You have to recognize, are we addicted to oxygen? Ion would say so. Are we addicted to breathing? Yes. But in general, we're not. It's a natural process. Media, technologies, the chip body are natural processes. So you can't say you're addicted to life. But people are, like, swamped by it. They don't know how to do yoga in relation to it, to their chip body. That's the issue. It's not.
I just saw the part where he said that. So maybe the term addiction that he coined is weak, but for the sake of discussing it, I did find it super interesting when he said, with all other addictions, you do all the drugs. If you get a bag of weed, you smoke it all. You get some oxys, you take them all. You take all the heroin, But with media, it's the only, quote-unquote, addiction, if you want to call the media the drug, that there's just, like, so much that you don't ever do it all.
Right, you can keep doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, let's go back to the article.
Sure.
Kate is here, right, Kate? You're back in? Are
I'm
you
here.
Better?
I'm here.
Oh, it sounds so much better.
Not me, it's my voice.
Yeah, what did you do to make it better?
I just changed headphones.
Oh, okay. So you now know which headphone is better.
Yeah.
You can mark it, put a little sticker on it, if it's exactly the same as the other one.
I'll just throw the other ones out.
What?
Yeah. I'm just going to throw the other ones out.
I think it's
starting to
get blurry again. I don't know. Let's just stay with this, though. What do you think, Katie? Is it starting to get blurry again?
No, it sounds great.
Okay. So let's get into this article. He's saying, what's the point, he's saying? It's just a Gnostic myth?
A Gnostic myth, and that through quantum entanglement, we're related to the Christ and other avatars, whoever has ascended before us. And he's big on that we will not be able to take our flesh and bone, our meat sack bodies, when we ascend. He says that when we decode Jesus' analogy of the camel and the eye of the needle, that the eye of the needle gate, a quantum wormhole to the real world, and that the flesh and blood body isn't going to go through the wormhole, will be in a perfect light body. And then we will journey in our light body with a robe of glory that we will weave.
Is this the natural way? That's the natural school.
The natural school.
Okay.
And then he gets into the way that we weave this natural body is by loving our neighbor as ourself. And that epitomizes quantum entanglement. The secret to weaving is knowing that we're entangled with everyone else. And that's why we want to follow the golden rule, basically, because we are our neighbor. We were created at the same moment. And what?
It's Greg. That is such old Christian memes.
Wait.
We're just picking an article so that we have something to talk about. We're not necessarily buying this. We're just talking about it.
No, I understand that, but it's such an old story. I mean,
I can explain it better, Greg. You watch. I'm going to make you hear this in a new way.
I'm waiting. Wait for it.
Greg, you mute yourself. I sent you to 5 minutes and mute them.
I want to talk about the Super Bowl commercials.
Come on. I'm muting Greg.
That's brilliant.
I'm muting Greg. Apologize, Greg.
Okay, Bob.
Hey,
Bob.
You fucked up. The Super Bowl fucked you up good. Okay, where is Greg?
He's trying to relate it to this quantum entanglement. That's
He's jumped ahead. We got to hear this whole thing out. Give Mr. Henry a fair hearing. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so, and because we're entangled with Christ, we can receive downloads from him. And then he brings in the art piece and says that one of the ways that we can also do this is through transfiguration icons. So if you stare at a picture of, say, the Buddha in his perfect light rainbow body, which is also very similar to a picture of Jesus riding in on rainbows, that when you look at those, that the paintings also produce quantum entanglement, and you can, like, bring that, like, I don't know if Sheila thinks that about her paintings. I haven't talked to Sheila about her paintings in years. But that, and I don't know if that was ever the intent of that, but that different art allows you to identify with these avatars and produces this quantum entanglement with them.
So that's William Henry's view. So what is he telling people that they don't know? Is he correcting anybody? Does he lay out some cliches and how people got it wrong and he's correcting them?
No. He mostly just wants to show art And you know, he's coming from a Gnostic point of view, so it's that Gnostic myth where, you know, there's, he doesn't say this, but that there's a pearl and someone's got to go down and get the pearl, and then the sun wakes up the lost, you know, that's Christ waking up the sleeping person in the
right.
false land, and then they ascend back up into the mother.
So he is essentially like me promoting his wife.
Well, they do it kind of together. They take people on tours to the Holy Land or different places.
Well, we do that.
This art.
We do that every Saturday. Me and my partner here. Yes, very similar. How old do you think he is? Has he got a Wikipedia entry?
Yeah, he does. He's probably 57, 58, something like that.
Okay.
Getting close to 60, maybe 60.
Well, he
he's like that Alex
entanglement.
Guy.
Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead, Kate. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, he says that the entanglement will lead to new quantum computers so advanced and powerful that they'll be like God.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's what he was trying to make with how he's trying to change people's minds a bit, like make them think that this is some new thing that's happening.
Well,
like,
when I saw him speak, he didn't, he was a bunch of cliches, it seems to me. To mm-hmm. recycle the Gnostic myth is, at best, was okay in the 70s, but 40 years later, maybe he started way back then. He is one of these guys back in the 70s or 80s who got on the bandwagon doing the Gnostic version of technology, which is called Technosis, Technosis. You can go into Technosis by Eric Davis, Eric Davis. He did a pretty good book. He talks a bit about McLuhan. He was talking about the wired web 1.0 being technosis or the dream of technosis. And then you got William seems to mix. He's actually a very rational quadriphenic. He's got a bit of the new age white light thing that is in Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke, which is an ancient book, like in the 50s or something.
Right.
I remember the Evergreen mm-hmm. saying that Arthur C. Clarke's ending scenario of the Childhood's End is a pretty good description of what's coming. So William Henry has a bit of that correctly if you go with the Evergreens, you know, this light body thing.
Right.
But where I'm now going to relate to Ion. I don't want to do it right away. I want to hear, why don't you read me a couple more sentences?
Sure. Well, Kate, do you want to read some? I don't want to hog up. Did you highlight anything that you want to read to Bob?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. He says, we will be changed. Our state of being will flip from superposition to Christ position. Then we can inherit the kingdom of God, flying the entangled wormholes of the starry sky's eternal vastness. I would love
you see how he mixes
that to Ion.
Yeah, he mixes a few scientific, you know, modern quantum talk, mystical physics with traditional, as Greg says, a Christian factor in there about Jesus, but it's a Gnostic Jesus. But I think what he misses is that when you're ascended, you're not going anywhere. You're recognizing, this is Ion's statement, you're recognizing that you've been ascended. And it's not about what technologies or clothing you wear. It's an attitude or approach or a perspective that has integrated your labyrinth of your mind with the physical, non-physical. There's too much going beyond the physical in the Arthur Clarke thing that he's got in there.
Actually, he says that not that same thing, but he does he he says that people miss the boat by thinking that when we ascend, we're going to go somewhere. He says it's, oh gosh, where can I find it?
Yeah, he needs to clarify that.
Yeah.
Because what if he's talking about we're becoming lake beings, that's something different from people's normal images of themselves. They think they're going somewhere to that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does say that there's a different type of a body, but perhaps he's thinking of the mystery body. He says, artists almost always show the ascend. I'll find the place where he says it's not about going somewhere. But
No, I was going to say,
Kate.
Changing your consciousness, if that's all
That's the part I'm looking for, Kate. Do you see that?
Yeah, but consciousness, that's a cliche. This guy is really recycling the cliches with a bit of hypnosis by mixing in modern quantum physics.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
Read it, Kate.
Says ascension is misunderstood by many of us because we overcomplicate it. It's really simple at the end of the day. Ascension is a state of being, a state of awareness. The illusion is that we go somewhere when we ascend. The truth is that we simply change our awareness of who we are and begin to identify with our pure self and the real world.
Okay, Kate, let me respond this way. Bert posted something I said a while ago. Edgar Cayce was a product, a medium visionary for the radio era. He died in 1945. Cosmic awareness, a medium visionary, channel visionary for the TV era. The Evergreens for, the 90s, Web 1.0. And then Ion is where we are now, which is post-Android meme. So you take those four. Definitely Henry has, he's an unconscious quadriphenic. He's taking cliches from each zone. So talking about changing our consciousness, that might be cosmic awareness. Yeah, let's say that's cosmic awareness. The Christian aspect would be Edgar Cayce. The becoming light beings would be the Evergreens because they celebrate Arthur Clarke's situation. The quantum stuff would be Evergreens, but maybe slightly Ion, but, a misguided Ion or an incomplete Ion. So he's mixing, so far, he's mixing these four motifs. He's saying we're going somewhere, but he knows enough to, there's that New Age cliche, well, we don't have to go too far, we're just going to alter our consciousness. You see, the whole Gnostic religion, the religion meme, which is a Thompson quadrant, believing in the astral body and something beyond the physical, that's been around so long that it's hard to perceive the obsolescence of that. Ion does its damnedest, their damnedest, to get you out of those cliche memes. So he's got a lot of cliche checks and balances, which is probably someone who's been around talking for a long time, since the 80s. They've seen people get enthusiastic and then go nuts. So you have to calm that down. Hey, we're not making you, become a whack job heroin addict. You got to just alter your consciousness. You get this point, Kate? Katie,
what do you mean enthusiastic and then go nuts? What do you mean by that, Bob?
Marianne Williamson.
Okay.
your direct experience, you witnessed that.
Sure.
They lose their balance in their enthusiasm of the almost Gnostic vision or of something collectively better going to happen. They actually apply the print idea and homogenize everything. Everything is subject to the same insight. Everybody gets on the same page. That's the bias of the printing press. Creates that idea. A lot of New Agers are not hyper-literate. They're semi-literate, and then they can go for the acoustic ideas that they hear from Alan Watts to Terence McKenna, give them some interesting new words and inspiration, and then they apply it in a visually biased, literate effect way because they have been conditioned that way in the West, and they're not aware of it. So their Gnostic vision gets translated into a visual bias naturally. That's what they're not aware of. And that's where I'm an expert on erasing those biases of cultural perception in your understanding of ascension. Now, I came to complete what I was doing. And we're going to try to explain what Ion's saying about this. So that's what I mean. This is what happens to Oprah Winfrey and Marianne Williamson. They go out there and they start talking about some vision, political sometimes, that everybody's supposed to get on the same page of. And, of course, this is mocked by the cynical journalists as, you know, New Age naivety. But it's actually an effect of reading too much and being affected by the literate industrial environment we're in. The electric age has brought in multi-consciousness, a decentralization, so the literate meme can't be projected over the population anymore. This is what people don't understand, what actually the electric environment has done to the print meme. Okay, I've said that many times. Let's go back to some more quotes. Kate, or Katie, are you there?
Okay. Here he says, yeah, I was just looking for one. Okay, he says, I have extensively studied the art of ascension. For centuries, highly skilled and illuminated artists have been showing us visualizations of our ascended self.
Okay, Kate, let me tell you that. You can't study ascension. See, that's book talk. I studied, I read.
Yeah.
And he's doing the astral body, what I call the astral body. Are you, you're there, right, Kate?
Of course I am.
Okay, because we called. Anyways, it was good what Kate read.
I was going to read that same thing. We're on the same page. We're visually biased together.
Yeah, visually biased together.
And
there are many songs
and we're quantum entangled because I was going to read the same thing.
Ooh.
And she's in Serbia, and I'm in Lynchburg. Oh my God.
That's shocking. I think Christianity is wrong because of that vision you've just elucidated. We must drop all religions and go to the one new religion you've just articulated.
The religion of Bob.
Yeah, no. It's not with the religion of any pre-Ionet. Pre-Ionet is that religion.
Oh, I'm not the pre, colossal. I'm not post, I'm para. I'm para, baby.
Yeah, that's good. See, well, you're an I-not.
Okay, oh, no, I'm none of that.
Like that.
I'm not
trying to tell that to Marianne Williamson.
Not. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can say to Marianne, I'm a paranaut. I'm a paraplegic. Okay, back to the. Give me more quotes by him. This is the only way we can clarify this. Just keep doing quotes.
Okay, go ahead,
Katie.
I'll read the rest of that. Artists almost always show the ascended human in the same way. It's a humanoid form, a light being, a luminous, radiant being, often emitting a rainbow light, often shown in a sphere of light, and that sphere indicates a portal, a point that is a face on the view of a pillar. It indicates an ascension body of some kind that ultimately manifests from with our own body, like a caterpillar morphing into a butterfly. The being in the sphere of light is our true self. The images are face-to-face meeting with who we truly are. Then he says, convergence is the word used for this meeting. Convergence comes from the prefix con, meaning together, and the verb verge, which means to turn toward. So it sounds like he's trying to explain the mystery body, Bob.
Yes. Much of Roxy's videos go into that tradition as she finds in Leonardo da Vinci and other artists. She may mean more than that, but what he's saying is, well, you could even say it's Byzantine art. It's that corporate art before the printing press, which brought in bourgeois individuals. You see the halo and that kind of glow on Byzantine art, the collective icons, is normal. And he's not being precise enough. Mr. Henry's not being precise about the effects of his concepts and what people might think he's saying and meaning. He's being too general. And he's taking the cliche idea of art, the halo, whatever, aura stuff, throws in a little portal statement. But what about Rembrandt, who started the idea of self-portrait? And you can read LaRouche's analysis of Rembrandt's own self-portrait and how he the values of something in there, the values of humanism. That's a form of enlightenment and ascension in the Gutenberg era. See, we've got to look at different media levels, and Thompson tries to do this, William Thompson, showing the different ideas of what ascension was. But the Gnostic says, no, underlying all of them is the perennial wisdom. Aldous Huxley wrote about that, and Alan Watts. And Ion is saying the perennial wisdom is quite mediocre. It's not what we're dealing with. It doesn't deal with the implications of everything, the implications of eternity. So I'm amazed at the cliches this guy says. Someone who, an average kinetic oral American, never read much, didn't get much literate education, they would be swept away by this kind of talk.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of audience I saw in Mesquite, Nevada. Middle-class people, not too sophisticated, certainly would not tolerate one sentence I ever said to them that I'd say on here. I'm just an intellectual snob or something. I'm quoting people that are obviously not ascended. And Zappa was obviously a smoking, coffee-drinking asshole, antisocial, you know. This is how they are. This is actually the working class. This is Trump's audience, Trump's base. These kind of people. They're screaming for a unified America. They're accused by the other uneducated blacks as being racist. But they're both demanding unity, which is a literate phrase, a literate situation. What about the idea under electric conditions, as McLuhan predicted, we are going to get maximum violence, maximum identity crisis constantly, 24/7, and that started in the 60s. And we're going to get even more. That's the effect of our electric environment on literate people or industrialized people. Nobody talks about that. So where is the ascension going to be? And we're seeing it. People think that America is kaput. America has totally destroyed itself. You know, bankrupt everything. They don't know that that's the way it was in the 60s with the television and satellite. But when you don't know that, then you fall victim to these ideas. There's so many books to read that would reiterate parts of what Henry's saying. Many, quote, uplifting books, if you're a dupe of books, and they're new for you. As McLuhan used to say, the semi-literate overvalue books, because they never got the literate sophistication that writers get. They don't identify with the medium. They can manipulate it. They can play with language, words, and visual effects. The average semi-literate person is totally fooled by these effects and very impressed with Margaret Atwood or Maya Angelou or who's the Toni Morrison or Saul Bellow or anybody that Kate likes. Name anybody you like, Kate. You're a victim of the literate meme.
You mean now, Katie?
Yes, I meant Katie, sorry.
I know.
Whereas
you did.
Kate is barely literate. So she's another case problem, different issues. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kate, that you had to take that horrible
you thought we were talking about you.
On my behalf, sister. It was intended for me.
No, I agree with that.
Let me deflect things a minute. Have we talked about how Oprah has her book club at the same time as she's pushing the New Age rhetoric?
Yeah, that's the syndrome. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what she did. Semi-literate Oprah makes a big deal out of books and through the 80s and 90s and becomes very important to the book industry. Right at the time, we don't need those kind of books unless you're neurotic and need to be suppressed and distracted from what's going on. And undermining it all by being a TV show. So riddled with contradictions that even she intuits that. That's why she ain't running for president. She knows she'd get smeared badly. Now, this kind of talk, I'm just saying, I would predict that Oprah would not like what I'm saying. Definitely wouldn't understand it, but would easily categorize me as some curmudgeon or something. She'd have me on the show, right? like a Dr. Phil and hope I get everybody riled up. But she wouldn't believe in what I'm saying.
I don't think Oprah would go as far as the William Henry version of Ascension.
No, probably not. She might personally, privately.
I think that
privately,
would be too much.
No, she would not say that publicly. She might now, but back then, in the 80s, she wouldn't have. She didn't know how important it was to say that back then.
I mean, I think she would go like as far as like throw in some non-dualism, like have some Adyashante on her. But I don't think she would go as far as to say that there's an ascension. That would be
not then, but not when she had her show.
Not in public.
She had time to. She's had time to be upset at where the world's going and then start reading more avant-garde New Age writers. It's a good question. I'm not saying I'm right.
I don't know. I don't think she would go for any kind of, like, E.T. presence, Pleiadians, Galactic Brotherhood.
Well, I don't know that. I wouldn't be surprised if she is. You should not be surprised if she is for that. You need to not limit your perception of her that way.
Well, I mean, I don't really care about her that much, but I know. Yeah.
Yeah, we're just trying to be fair. But let's not get distracted. That's not even relevant. Really, it could be on the corporate TV body level. She's an icon of that world.
Sure.
So you do deal with it, but definitely William Henry's not talking about her. It's interesting how he's a moralist. He's saying there are certain things you have to do. Real ascension does not involve morals. I like McLuhan's idea. There's a kind of art that is cognitive perception enhancing. What Trump does, you know, ignore these idiot people who think I'm stupid. Look at the fake news. He wants people to look at the environment perceptually. So that's a cognitive way of doing art. The moralistic, and also called cathartic, is the kind of art that Henry's talking about. It's humanity getting a comeuppance. And at the same time, individually, because you're a literate person, you can bypass a comeuppance by going somewhere. But don't overdo it. All you have to do is alter your consciousness. So a lot of contradiction there. But Henry's in the moralistic ethical school of art.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of focus on Christ, for sure.
Right.
He gets into the divine spark, which he calls a fractal of a greater soul.
See, there's the modern term, fractal.
Yep. And
goes
then
in the modern physics.
He shows the shape of a single photon that looks like a cross of light, the symbol of Christ's resurrection.
Right.
And so there's a picture, and then says, so should we be surprised that the light of the world is simultaneously thought of a man or particle and God, a wave? So he's comparing Christ to, you know, particle and wave duality.
Right. Those are simplistic terms in physics. You talk to actual physicists, the image of the proton that's circulated in magazines is not what the proton is, and especially when you talk to ion. We're nowhere near an honest visualization of what it is, and yet Henry will take a cliche in the science magazine world and make an archetype out of it. See, that's where it's popularization. It's playing to the media dupes, the people who think the ET is a gray.
Right.
Okay, I'm being critical. You can counter him.
No, that's why I kind of picked two, like a little simple, fun little article that we could just
tear apart.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to tear apart everything, but this would be something, you know, nice and easy. A little pablum for tonight, a little pablum on a Saturday night.
No, we're not going to make this pablum. This is not pablum. A lot of people believe in what he's saying. That is the imagery they have.
Sure.
A lot of people today. It's a collection of, you could say, media effects of the global theater acquired and built up over the last 30, 40 years. With ions trying to show a different visualization of the present.
Right.
See, the thing is, why can't William Henry come on here? Why doesn't he know about us? See, you're not informed if you don't know about us. You should know about us and come on and, you know, defend his statements. And that would be really interesting. So maybe Katie, Ed makes an audio of this, we'll send it to William Henry and invite him on.
We always say we're going to send these audios. We have been saying we were going to send these audios to every motherfucker that we have torn up for the whole 5 years I've been calling you. We never do.
That's right. That's why you're fired from that role. You never did it.
No,
I have to do it.
I was like, no, would that be mean? I'd be so embarrassed if they heard.
Oh, is that right? You'd be embarrassed?
I would.
Okay,
I would, because whatever. Okay, so then
we need to fix that. Come on, Katie. What the hell? Are you embarrassed on behalf of who? Yourself?
Myself. Like I went on and talked about your stuff and then we laughed at you.
He would tell you, if you had sent him this or when you do, he'd say, I'm so relieved to get an interesting critique of me. I don't get it on the circuit. Everybody believes me. These kind of people, someone who's been an author for a while, they want challenge. At least they'll say that. So you would actually be liked by these people. This is incredible naivety on your part to think that you'd upset people.
All right.
You wouldn't upset them. I upset them. I've obviously not evolved according to these standards. I'm a ridiculous person.
Yeah, okay. You probably wouldn't listen to it.
I should be embarrassed, but I'm not.
You don't get embarrassed, so...
No, I'm not. How could I get embarrassed? I'm so proud of what I've done that the slings and arrows of fate, you know, are just going to get one third of me at best.
Right.
I can't be hurt. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, then he shows after talking about the, you know, the God particle or showing how the wave and the proton and whatever, how it looks like a cross, he shows the Mandelbrot set. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
It looks like a Buddha.
That. Right.
Right. And that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how's that cool? That's a cliche.
Well, I mean, it does look like a Buddha. It's cute.
Well, we don't want to be involved with the Buddha. The Buddha is somebody who came in the Axial Age, AXIAL. 1000 B.C., that's when writing came in, and you had these individualist prophets that came in. We're well beyond the values of that. That's why Jesus said, look, I'm just a product of the actual age. Many greater than me will come. He said that right there in Genesis 1:5, I think.
Right.
did I fool you there? It's Genesis 1:5, Jesus says,
no, that's absolutely incorrect.
I'm like, yeah, he did. Yeah.
There's no possible way that that's possible.
What? See? You don't define your terms, Sarah. I don't know what you're saying. What? I said several things. What is no possible way?
That Jesus said that in Genesis.
When you find out, I is going to agree with me. And then you're going to have to get your head around that, okay? Because he will agree with me. I am always right when it comes to Ion. Ion will say, of course, Ion was there. He was always there in Genesis. Moses was the front man.
Yep, that Christ through the ages, always there. Always been there.
Yeah, he's been nowhere because there's three of them. And we're just talking about the erroneous one who made it into the literate canon through the Bible, that printed lump of shit. You see, alchemy is turning shit into gold. I can take the shit of the Bible and turn it into gold. That's quite a talent. You know, exegetically, interpretively.
Excrementedly.
Excrementedly, yes.
Yes.
The Church of Subgenius has a phrase, excrementation. What you think about when you're sitting on the can. Excrementation. Highly recommend it. Most of us are doing it anyways. Okay. Let's go to Kate, see if she's got a quote.
Okay, I should read something under the Buddha here.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Okay. He's saying that the painting of the Buddha, oh, after all, what is a painting but a perfect example of wave-like particle duality? It is a collection of particles of paint splashed on a canvas that converge and emit waves. Each dot is quantum entity flashing in and out of existence. These dots are constantly changing, producing waves of light, refreshing from moment to moment at the quantum level, converging from moment to moment in a nation.
See, the duality is a Gnostic. That's, literacy made people think life was dual. Pre-literate people don't think life is dual. They don't have that simple reductionism to a, I don't know, a spectrum, alpha and the omega. They don't make that perceptual limitation. It was an extension of literacy, the duality, and useful for a while, a novelty to think that way, but the Gnostics turned it into a religion. So if he's finding duality all through the paintings, then his wood's wet. That was for Carol.
He's kind of...
Who's on mute. Why can't we hear you, Carol? If you're going to laugh, we want to hear it. Oh, well, we don't mind you eating. Okay, I'm going to give you an example here of, I think this is better than William Henry. This is Lennon LaRouche talking about the usefulness of the Fibonacci series. You guys know about that, the golden section? We all know about the Fibonacci's pattern, right?
Fibonacci. Oh, the Fibonacci spiral?
Yes. Okay, here's LaRouche explaining it. Okay, you would do it. It's just reading it last night. I've started to read his new book. Now that I finished the Wyndham Lewis book, we've gone over, which is the McLuhan quadrant, we've gone over to the LaRouche quadrant. And
you and your books, Bob.
Yeah, I'm a highly literate guy. I don't mind exploring literacy. Okay. He has so much on each page.
What's the title, Bob?
It's called So You Wish to Learn All About Economics. And you can go, post a link. You go to the books. They have a place where all of Roosh's books are available on PDF, so you can get this. Let's see. Here's LaRouche. The central feature of the work on geometry by Pacioli, an associate of Leonardo da Vinci. So the central feature of the work on geometry by Pacioli and Leonardo was the mastery of the principle of the five Platonic solids, which are on my tiny note chart. And they come from Plato's Timaeus. And he has the date for Plato around 427 to 347 BC. This Platonic section is the proof that invisible, and in brackets, Euclidean, in quote, space. So he's got it right. Visual space is Euclidean space, according to McLuhan. It's just the space and the effect of the phonetic alphabet. So LaRouche says, this is the proof that invisible Euclidean space, only five species of regular polyhedra can be constructed by methods of synthetic geometry. It's a special kind of geometry. I won't go explain that. These five species are, 1, the regular tetrahedron, 2, cube, 3, octahedron, 4, 12-sided dodecahedron, and 5, 20-sided icosahedron. The tetrahedron, the octahedron, and the icosahedron have faces which are each equal equilateral triangles. The dodecahedron's faces are each equal regular pentagons. Pacioli constructed a proof of this theorem in his book called The Divine Proportions in 1494. A more rigorous proof was developed by Leonard Euler, 1707 to 1783, a proof which is at the center of Euler's development of topology, not type, but T-O-P. And he developed this topology on the basis of Leibniz's analysis situs. So you'd have to look up analysis situs. It is readily proven, now here's the point, it is readily proven that each of the other four Platonic solids, that is the 1, 2, 3, and 5, the regular tetrahedron, the cube, the octahedron, and the icosahedron, These four Platonic solids are derived from the dodecahedron. Now, that's what ion says. Ion comes from the dodecahedron. Ion knew his geometry. Who knew that the dodecahedron was the source for the other four? So then LaRouche says, it is also shown in Euler's proof in this connection that the golden section, the synthetic geometrical construction employed to construct a regular pentagon or dodecahedron, is the characteristic feature of the uniqueness of the five Platonic solids. So then, going into the golden section, he says, the design of the Athens Acropolis is a striking demonstration of the fact that Plato's contemporaries and predecessors of classical Greece used a synthetic geometry centered upon the golden section. Also, comparing the work of Albrecht Dürer with the harmonic ratios employed in design of the Acropolis, it is shown that these classical Greeks understood the principle rediscovered by Pacioli and Leonardo da Vinci. Now, here's the principles. Now, compare this to a statement by William Henry. Here is an actual description of ascension. Here it goes. It's in italics. All living processes are essentially distinguished geometrically from non-living by the fact that the morphology of growth and of growth-determined functions of living processes is that of a self-similar pattern of growth, such that the self-similarity is in a harmonic ratio congruent with the golden section. Now, that's a big statement there, right, Katie's and Kate's?
Yeah. Can you explain it?
Okay. I begin by his explaining this. The next paragraph. Admittedly, various cults have attempted to read mystical properties into the Pentagon and Golden Section for such reasons. All right? So, he's on to William Henry and the guys who has, Ion just gets blatantly says, there is no sacred geometry. There are no patterns in nature. We need to re-ask Ion about the Golden Section. So then LaRouche says, there's nothing mystical involved. If one knows the relevant work of Gauss and Riemann, they're like the 1790s and 1850s. Riemann had a big influence on Einstein. Before this text is completed, says LaRouche, the reader will understand the rudiments of the matter and their indispensable function in economic science free of all mystification. See, this mystification by the Gnostics into an abstract zone misses the fact that ascension is a principle in economic science. Now, how's that, Kate? You never heard that said before, Kate or Katie?
Nope.
Right?
Nope. No way.
And probably not even a Kabbalistic dupe. Sarah never heard of that before. We know Sarah never heard that before.
Do I get to ask some questions now?
No,
of course I've heard that, Bob.
Come on, Bob, come on.
Just remember your question.
Of course.
Yeah, let me just finish this paragraph. For the purposes of the present section of the text, which is page 6, it is sufficient to touch upon only a few leading points bearing directly on Leibniz's discoveries in economic science. First, the significance of the golden section's relationship to morphology of living processes begins to make sense once it's recognized why what is called a Fibonacci series, and he says, made by Leonardo of Pisa, who was probably about 30 or so years of age when he wrote his 1202 Liber Abaci. Okay, once it is recognized why it is called a Fibonacci series, it converges upon values determined by the golden section. A Fibonacci series is a geometrical series, in brackets, geometrically determined series of whole numbers, end of bracket, which accurately estimates population growth, including growth of populations of cells. As the numbers in the series become modestly large, the ratios defined converge rapidly upon the values of the golden section. It required only rather a simple observation of plants to prove afresh Pacioli's and Da Vinci's discovery for plant life. Leonardo's work on anatomy of people, horses, and so forth was chiefly a scientific study of the same principle of the golden section. Not only are the forms of the human body, for example, determined by the principle of the golden section, the dynamics of the morphology of bodily function are also determined so. And then he gets into gestures. Now, that's what OA, that TV show, talks about magical gestures. And then Ion drew our attention to that part of the gestures in, and then that relates to some charts Ion gave us, but it also relates to understanding what LaRouche meant. So go ahead, Gene. I've said my bit there. That's meant to bamboozle you, what I read. But that's something that's makes you think about things a little better than Million Henry's pablum. Okay, so yes, Gene, go ahead.
Okay, so let's just start really, really simply, and use Euclidean geometry versus non-Euclidean geometry.
Right.
As a basis of this. And first of all, I want to know if you would say, if you would agree with this. We got fixated at some point on the shortest distance between two points. In that, in the early days, they identified points and went that direction with everything in their thinking. That's kind of a way for you guys were talking about literacy and how Oprah, there's no specificness anymore. There's no concreteness. Oprah and William Henry can talk New Age language, but there's no meaning behind it. And we seem to have gone along with this line of thinking, the shortest distance to between two points is a straight line. That's straight line thinking.
Yeah, and that's linear. That comes in with the phonetic alphabet.
Right. The non-Euclidean considers all the points everywhere. So it's not really even staying on a line or not even staying on the waveform, on the frequency wave where you're going up and down. It's not about the peaks and the troughs, really. It's about all the points along that waveform. It's not
okay,
leaving
well, that
out
would,
any points.
You know what that is, Gene? That is starting to pick up the electric effect, the sound bubble of electric technology, and retrieving the pre-alphabetic effect. When you start talking about centers nowhere, meaning they can be everywhere, and margins
yes.
nowhere,
yes.
that decentralized idea is moving out of visualization caused by writing to non-visualization in original speech-based societies and then later electric-based societies. You see how they're groping to get beyond the visual
yes.
bias in non-Euclidean?
Yes. Yes. And that's – okay, so – and that's what LaRouche and I just read Armstrong. You posted Armstrong on your Facebook. Martin Armstrong.
You mean the financial guy? The Wall Street
yes.
guy?
Yes. Yes.
What did
he say? Both of them are trying to organize that waveform, that fluctuation. They're trying to
They're trying to visualize an acoustic dynamic.
Say that again?
They're trying to visualize an acoustic dynamic.
Ooh.
Remember, non-Euclidean geometries are still geometry. Still visualizations.
Okay, so now in economics class number 9, they're talking about the economic driver being space, because we keep looking, the farther away we look, we see things farther and farther away, but we're looking at them differently. And they talked about using radio waves, looking at radio waves combined with, looking at a star visually and then looking at a star by wave frequency, radio waves, low frequency stuff, and how
right.
it looks different, and it changes our perception on space. And then we apply that to economics, to everything else. It changes
well,
our entire perception of the world.
Riemann's 1854 thesis on geometry was that visually biased geometry
yes.
Was built on assumption and axioms that are not useful. So Riemann tried to create a new geometry that wasn't based on visual geometry. I don't know if he's considered the father of non-Euclidean geometries, but Riemann, geometry are a fraud and invalid. Now, only in the electric age, the age of the telegraph, could maybe Western minds start to accept that idea. They couldn't have in the printing press phase, but that's what Riemann is trying to show. Now, you talk about Euclidean and non-Euclidean. The third geometry, the one that LaRouche advocates, is called synthetic geometry. Now, this might be the root of non-Euclidean, but LaRouche says on page 4, prior to the production of what is known today as Euclid's 13 books called The Elements, in Egypt, classical Greek geometry had been of the form today called synthetic geometry, is the form of geometry which excludes all axioms, postulates, and the formal deductive methods of proof associated with Euclid's theorems. The only self-evident form of existence in synthetic geometry is circular action. The definitions of straight line and point are derived from the folding of a circle against itself. I've mentioned that over the last few weeks.
Yes.
With only circular action plus the line and point so defined, every other figure in geometry must be produced by construction using nothing but these three elements. Cusa, Nicholas of Cusa, he's about 1450 to 1520, he caused the Renaissance in Florence. He's the one who brought over the Greek scholars who had been collapsed by the fall of Byzantium. Cusa's rediscovery, so it's a rediscovery from Egypt, that circular action is a self-evident form of existence in visible space, it's called the isoperimetric proof, revolutionized European geometry among such followers of Cusa as Luca Pacioli, we were talking about him, and Pacioli's collaborator Leonardo da Vinci. The work of Cusa, Pacioli, Leonardo, and such followers of Leonardo as Albrecht Dürer and the school of Raphael around Raffaello Sanzio was the basis for the work of Kepler, Gerard Desargues, Pierre Fermat, and Blaise Pascal, all directly or indirectly essential contributors to the work of Leibniz. The work of Gauss, Dirichlet, and Riemann is based upon the same geometrical method. So I don't know what academics call non-Euclidean geometries, who they're citing, but definitely the non-Euclidean technically is the stream that I've just read you from LaRouche. It says, the central feature of the work on geometry by Pacioli and Leonardo was the mastery of the principle of the five Platonic solids. And then I explained to you the five solids, four solids coming from the dodecahedron, then how it relates to the Athens Acropolis. Then the cults misread all this stuff. Okay, now we'll try to explain the morphology here of living processes. So LaRouche says, first, the significance of the golden section's relationship to morphology of living processes begins to make sense once it is recognized why what is called the Fibonacci series converges upon the values determined by the golden section. Then he describes the Fibonacci series, which I read, how it estimates population growth and that stuff. Then he says, among the numerous branches of modern science founded by Leonardo da Vinci, chiefly on the basis of these geometrical principles, the one that where the circle is the prime action, circular action, that all forms come from, Leonardo applied his studies of anatomical dynamics. So he studied human bodies, and he applied it to designs of weapons, tools, and machinery. In design of these weapons, for example, knowledge of the dynamics of anatomy was used to develop weapons as tools, taking advantage of the optimal potentialities of forceful movements by the body of the bearer of the weapon. So a body bearing carrying a weapon in such a way as to administer the most efficiently crippling or killing attacks against the adversary. So he studied the postures, the gestures of someone killing somebody with a weapon. It was from this same vantage point that he developed the principles of for design of machinery. In the simple design of powered machinery, for example, the movements of the workmen producing a kind of product are studied. The observer adduces which aspect of those motions are essential to the work. These essential motions or gestures are incorporated in a machine and power supplied to the machine. Then he has animal power, water power, wind power, heat power, and so forth. Those are different kinds. Thus, the operative using the machine has greater power to produce than the same operative without the machine. However, generally speaking, the power applied to the work by a machine is not the same power supplied to the machine as a whole. A very simple machine, a simple knife blade, illustrates the point. The pressure applied by the sharpened edge of the blade is vastly greater than the pressure exerted upon the handle of the knife. The power is more concentrated in the first on the blade. We measure such concentration of power as increase of energy flux density. Energy flux density. This measures the concentration of power per centimeter of movement or per square meter of cross-section of action or per cubic meter volume of action. If 1 ton of impulse is supplied to a machine and this impulse is concentrated 1,000 times on a work area, a maximum of 1,000 of tons of impulse is applied to the work area. In our text, we shall most frequently measure energy flux density in kilowatts and measure kilowatts per square kilometer or per square meter. So he's going to go on and apply it to economics. This is what he's getting from the Fibonacci series. I don't expect you guys to follow what I'm saying, but it's something you have to read closely to get this. I know that Carolyn's starting to read this book. She probably will get bogged down at this part and skip over it. She'll skip over it probably, or send an email to something about their wheat, dairy, sugar complex.
No, no, I'll ask you.
No, I'm not always here to
you.
Be,
you are always
I'll be
here.
Reading ahead.
Every night when I go to bed, we have a little intellectual discussion.
We discuss our reading
to
matter.
Drive me to sleep.
Cool. Yeah. I barely drive Carol to sleep with the latest book we're talking about. Okay.
I got it on Kindle, guys. I got this economics book on Kindle.
Oh, for $9.99.
Yep.
Yeah, and
it's
see,
really
you can
book.
Take notes right there. I want to start learning Kindle, Carol.
The name of it?
Then your notes are right on the spot. Of the
That's right. And then now with the updated Kindle just the other day, they have a aspect when you go to your notes to look at them. At the bottom it says download to your email. You can download your notes directly to email.
Oh,
it's in a PDF,
wow.
But it's a copyable PDF, so you can just put it in a document file. It's awesome. And there's no learning about Kindle, Gene. You just turn it on and start reading.
So, but you can put any PDF into a Kindle?
No, I haven't found that yet, but I can put any document into a Kindle.
You can just email a PDF to your Kindle and it'll be in there.
You can email a PDF. Okay, I've just tried documents, but what Bob is saying, I bought this copy of this economics book, and Bert wants to know the name of it.
Yeah,
I bought it on Amazon for $9.99. I didn't. The PDF version was kind of looked really like it was just a Xerox copy, so I didn't think it was Kindleable.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because that's what I'm looking at is the free PDF that somebody photographed, I think.
Right. Bob, what's the name of the book?
Okay, I'm going to post on our chat line the link to many LaRouche books that are available. And the one that I'm doing now, Bert, is called So, You Wish to Learn All About Economics? Question. So, You Wish to Learn All About Economics? Subtitle, A Text on Elementary Mathematical Economics.
Mm.
So, putting that in here, there's the link to all the books, and you can get the PDF from that list this book on So You Wish to Learn All About Economics. So back to Kate and Katie. So I find that more interesting, more detailed than the non-concrete William Henry stuff.
Well, I would need something in between because I didn't understand a word you said.
I know. It is hard to understand. I mean, you're talking to a guy who's pretty good at engineering talk, mathematical physics talk, science talk. You know, LaRouche, you can maybe call him a genius. At least they call him a polymath. You have to read it. I've been reading it for decades. And, you know, each time I realize I didn't understand it from before, just like you read McLuhan.
And I'm only getting
Thompson.
Little bits and pieces. I'm just getting bits and pieces, and I wouldn't have been able to take it in 5 years ago. Like
and
I
I'm not even
now.
Interested in what you were talking about either, like not at all. So
that's a statement from a very lowly, non-ascended person. If you
that's
heard
true.
What
like
ascended,
I wish I was, but I'm not. And what I am interested about with the Fibonacci spiral is like if you
Kate, we're not
at it,
here to hear your what's the phrase.
Bias.
No,
bias.
Arguing for your limitations.
Oh, right.
We're not here for arguing for your limitations, Kate.
I'm just
Kate.
Saying that I would. That wouldn't. There are many ways to look at you. You. There are many ways to look at the Fibonacci spiral. It's all throughout nature.
Yes. Yes, but you need to master
what,
all
know,
of them. You need. That's not a reason to ignore LaRouche. You all go to the other ones. You need to
no,
include LaRouche.
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't look at it per se. But when you're rattling it off like that, and I'm not even remotely interested. I mean,
I
got up and got a cupcake.
I know that's okay. If you listen to Ion describing an ascended person a couple of weeks ago, They are interested in everything, the latest inventions, the latest this and that, the curiosity
well,
of the
I was interested in my cupcake that I made with Fibonacci
yeah.
spirals baked
yeah, that,
in, which
that's
enhanced
a defensive
their
mechanism.
Flavor.
That's trying to find the lower life form there, not being inspired by what I'm taking you.
This is William
yeah,
Henry's
okay.
rainbow coat or whatever he was talking about. What?
His coat of many colors.
Yeah,
I just didn't get it. I'm too dumb.
You're not supposed to get it.
It's
casting aspersion on your brain. You aren't supposed to get it. I'm just showing you some complex stuff that you need to learn how to read if you're ascended. I mean, I've been able to read all the holy offices I talked about 30 years ago on the radio way better now after being processed by the Drops, Remag, and Ion. It makes you smarter. Our stuff, and you'll be surprised at what you can understand that you wouldn't have understood, like Gene just said 5 years ago.
Well, I mean, I've had that experience.
Well,
and
it's a constant reaching, Katie.
Wait a minute, Gene. She's responding.
Okay. I've read plenty of stuff that was things that I wouldn't have been able to understand before I was ionized and on the drops. I'm just saying that particular one would take a little more focus than
yes.
some of the other
that's
things
why
that I've
that's
at.
Why I'm mentioning
not,
it.
Yeah. And
of course. You're understanding
tonight,
the proposition here, Kate. Katie,
sure.
You're understanding completely.
But I'm also
that, yes,
admitting
that would take a little more attention.
While you were reading it, I got up and ate a cupcake, and it was delicious.
No problem. While I was reading it, I was brushing my teeth. You didn't even notice.
Well, what's fun about the book, Kate, is that, and Katie, is at the beginning, it's the history